Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
I want to challenge you with the content of this song. That's why we're doing this series. John Mark and Sarah McMillan are a husband and wife couple that wrote this song. They do ministry together. And the lyrics, as you hear, are very poetic. It's very much like a modern psalm. It's speaking truth in the midst of personal joy and pain. If I could summarize the song, that'd probably be it. It's speaking truth in the midst of personal joy and pain. Because that's life, right? That's where we live. We live in between. We live in that tension, in that struggle of things that are wonderful and things that are difficult, all mixed in together in every day of our life. Joy intermingled with pain. That's how life comes to us. The very act of childbirth is joy in immense pain, right? I've never done it, but that's what I hear, okay? That it's the near-death pain experience mixed with the greatest possible joy of connecting with another life that way. It's just a powerful mixture of those two things. The good days in our life don't announce themselves. Neither do the bad days, right? They're all, and sometimes they share time, actually, in our struggles, in our difficulties. That's part of the human experience, and it's due to sin. We recognize that, right? It's due to sin. God did not design us so that we would be in pain and we would be in struggle all the time. That's a result of sin that's happened in our world, both physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. That's part of the picture. We live in the now, but not yet, kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let me explain that really quickly. Because we're in the now kingdom of Jesus. He's given us authority, right? He said, all authority I've given to you, go and take authority, do this thing, step out and walk in the kingdom power that I've given you and anointed you with. He sent the power of the Holy Spirit to give us boldness and courage and everything that we need to live his kingdom out right now, right? It's the now kingdom of Jesus Christ. But it's the not yet because it's not fully realized yet. He's ascended to the Father. He's sent the Holy Spirit. But he's not returned and established his physical kingdom on this planet. So we're living in the now, but not yet, kingdom of Jesus Christ. All the authority, all the understanding, the Holy Spirit, his power, his life, his strength, his healing, his kingdom is all evident in our lives. But because of sin still infecting the picture, it's not fully yet. God is temporarily allowing the weeds to grow with the harvest for now. That's in Scripture. Jesus taught about that. Sin affects our natural, physical world. As we see with hurricanes, natural disasters, earthquakes, we see those things taking place. Sin affects our tendencies and our selfish desires, don't they? You and I have to overcome the effects of sin on a daily basis. We have to walk that out. We have to live through this and work that out as we make our choices every day so that that joy of knowing God and understanding the joy and the pleasure and the excitement of life is often mixed with the pain and the struggles that life also brings us. Sin affects the choices and outcomes of people all around us on a regular basis. The sin of one terrorist affects everybody near around them, right? It affects them. It doesn't mean that anybody's character changed except for that one person that took the sinful action. That death is meted out on the people around them. It doesn't mean that God did that. That means that that person acted in a sinful way towards the people around them. Right? And so we feel the sting of that suffering, of that struggle. The sin of one drug dealer affects everyone that he imprisons with his product. Right? The sin of one addict radiates throughout the family into their friends and everybody around them. So we have a new glory that's partly revealed and partly delayed until Christ returns in victory. Such is the life that we experience. King David didn't know that revealed glory, but he had a taste of this. Many of his psalms would celebrate God and then question and wonder and then go back to celebrating, right? Kind of back and forth. David wasn't bipolar. David had issues, just like we do, right? He just had problems to work through. He had life happening to him on a regular basis, and some of that was celebrating, and God is amazing and good, and look what you've done. And other parts of it were, where in the world are you? I didn't see you do this the way I thought you should. Right? And that's where we get into it, right? We talked about this a little bit last week with about God doing it again and never letting us down. And it's the same phrase in this week as well. God's not going to let us down, but oftentimes God doesn't always say yes to everything we ask for. Right? Sometimes we still deal with the pain. We still deal with difficulties. But that's understanding. If we gauge all of our experience based on this earthly race, you're going to be very disappointed. Newsflash, we all die. Right? We all die. We all go. That's how it happens. That's appointed unto man once to die, and then we face judgment, right? So if we base everything on the experiences we have in this life, we are going to be some sad, frustrated folks. But we need to recognize that that's not what he is based on. That's not who he is, and that's not what we are as a spiritual being that he's created us to be. We transcend this life. We transcend these days. I am not just sustained by food. I am sustained by his presence and his spirit, right? I am a physical being that is in tandem working with a spiritual being living inside this tent he gave me, okay? I'll call it that. That's what we have to recognize, is if we base it all on what we're going through in this world, then we end up being very frustrated. But we need to recognize that God is bigger. He transcends that. And he is speaking that into us. And we recognize that. And that's where our worship comes from. That's where David did it. And that's how we'll do that. Because the bad invading the good and the good rubbing up against the bad in life does not determine the character of God. Most people confuse it, like Solomon did, even in the book of Ecclesiastes, and said, you know what? This is just all a bunch of random coincidence. This is pointless. Everything's meaningless. Some people confuse it that way. But that's not what we're supposed to do, because we understand there's a bigger picture. We understand that God is in control, right? God is aware of what we're facing. He hasn't left us. He hasn't taken his hand off the steering wheel and said, you know what? That caught me by surprise. I didn't know that was going to happen. I just counseled somebody on the phone this week. They shared a difficult diagnosis with me. And I said, well, you know what? I just want to remind you that God is not surprised by this. And of course, the cynical question is, well, why doesn't he fix it then, right? Why doesn't he fix it then? And that's the question that I think I can't fully answer, but I know it's not because he's mean. And I know it's not because he's not good, because that's all he is good. He can't bad. He can't. It's not in him. It's not. He's not capable of it. It's not who he is in his nature. God is good. And he cannot do things that are wrong, things that are evil. God's people say that you are good. We tell him that. We preach that. We proclaim that. We sing it. We worship it to him. And we say no to sin. In Scripture, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Here, I want to read you the Scripture and tie this in a little bit, because we are dealing with our obedience and our right living in the midst of the negativity and the sinful world that we live in, all right? And here's our response. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Remember, I've talked about grace before. Grace is not prettiness and forgiveness. Grace is empowerment. Grace makes it look easy, right? Like when a skater is graceful, they make it look easy, not the way I make it look when I ice skate, okay? I am not empowered or enabled that way. I am awful at it, and it looks like it, right? But grace makes it look easy. So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no. Everybody say no. Okay, now say it like you're telling your new puppy who chews on everything. Ready? Say no. Yeah, no. Anyway, all right. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait, go on to the next couple of verses, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what? Is good. Isn't that crazy? We're going to do good things because he is good, right? That's we shadow, we echo what he is doing there. So this new song, you're like, Pastor, you're supposed to be teaching a song. Okay, I'll teach you the song. This new song that we sing was written by a person squarely in the middle of that conflict. Sarah McMillan was writing this song, and the tragedy or the difficulty that she went through in this moment of her life was she was an adult watching her parents go through a ugly divorce. At the same time, she was observing that scenario and the turmoil of what it does to a family and all of those things that everybody's all too familiar with. She's watching the divorce of her parents go on while she is pregnant with her baby. So you see the dichotomy, right? She's excited and joyous about, I have this new life, this child, and we're excited and we're celebrating this, me and my husband. This is a beautiful gift of God, right? And the joy of that moment, meanwhile, the people she wants to talk to and tell it about it are going through struggle and a divorce and an ugly situation. She wrote this song stuck in the middle of joy and pain. Because we have to recognize, you're like, wow, this is kind of hard, Pastor. Well, it is, but that's where life happens, is amid in the midst of joy and pain. And what we have to recognize is that it does not affect who God is. The stinging pain of loss and sorrow is intermingled with the joy of new life and celebration in her situation. She says it made her very clear on the idea that the goodness of God was not dependent on our season. Nudge the person next to you and remind them of that. The goodness of God is not dependent upon your season. Because that's what they are. They're seasons, right? Summer just came. Well, summer's hanging on still, but it's trying. But fall, you know, seasons come and go. They change. They move on through. Those things do not determine the nature and the character of God. Her joy didn't mean that God is good or bad. Right? We're like, well, it should. Well, but no. Determine that in your heart and recognize that your joy does not mean that God is good, no more than your sorrow means God is bad. Right? He's either good or not, regardless of my situation, because that's who he is. Now, the cool thing is that he loves me so much that his goodness often affects my season and situation. But when it doesn't, I can't say that therefore he is no longer good, because he is only good. It is not determined by my season or my emotions or my feelings. This song declares the goodness of God no matter the scene or the season. The king of my heart isn't just good when I'm succeeding. He simply is always good. The king of my heart isn't bad when people do wrong. He is always good. My feelings, and if you want to write down or you like to tweet stuff, man, this is a sermon note right here. Are you ready? My feelings don't determine his character. My feelings, my emotions, my turmoil, my joy, my excitement, my whatever I'm expressing or feeling does not determine his character. His character is who he is, regardless of how I feel about it today. Amen? You're like, wow, Steve, that's kind of mean. Well, no, it's just truth. And it's good for us to recognize, because if I don't, I'll project my bad feelings onto him and say it's his fault. And that's not who he is, right? We have to be convinced. We have to understand that and celebrate his goodness. When I scuff my new shoes, or when I wreck my car, or when cancer is attacking my body, does not affect his goodness whatsoever. Amen? No matter the diagnosis I get, it does not affect his goodness. Because the quicker I'm done with this tent, the quicker I get the good one. Like, man, you got a death wish. Kinda, yeah. Because I'm trying to get there. Everything I do in this life is about me getting there. And if I'm doing it any other way, I'm missing the point, right? Well, this life's really fun, Pastor. You haven't tried. No, you don't understand how good there is. Because if you did, you wouldn't forfeit any of there for this. Woo! You wouldn't forfeit any of it. You wouldn't give up a minute of it for what you're experiencing or going to experience there. The song declares him to be the mountain where I run. Help and safety and stability. He's the fountain I drink from. He's everything that I need, my always faithful source. He's the shadow where I hide. He's huge and he goes to battle for me. My little puppy did that this week. The neighbor dog barked. Roo! And she was like terrified and she ran underneath my feet and stood there like, what are we going to do? Right? Another time did that. She ran all the way up onto the porch and was looking out like the house is like base or something. She's looking out like, where did that come? The shadow where she hides, right? We do that in God. We find him as the shadow where we run to, and he is the one who takes the brunt of the pain for us. He is the one who carries it. The sin and the shame that I carry, Jesus bore on the cross. Amen? So we recognize he's the shadow where we hide. He's the mountain we run to. He's the fountain we drink from. He's the ransom for my life. Jesus took my sin and death so that I could live. The second verse asked him to be the wind in my sails. I need Jesus to be the wind in my sails because every other source is not reliable. If it's about finances, sometimes I'm going to have no wind in my sails. Right? Because we're broke is a joke. Right? I can't base it on those temporal things. I want to base it on eternal things like Jesus and his power and his identity. That's the wind in my sails. That's what keeps me going. That's what wakes me up in the morning. Amen, church? That's why I'm here today, because he's the wind in my sails. Not something else. Not something else that's going to change or shift or move on me. He is the one. That's why I can sing. And that's why I can sing he's good, because he always is faithful. So he's the wind in my sail. He's the anchor in the waves, the song says. The rock in unsafe times when normal is impossible. I thought about that. When normal is impossible. Have you ever been in a life situation where normal is just impossible? Like you just can't get there from here. You can't even see normal. I think about one of those ocean storms where he's talking about the anchor in our waves. He's put the anchor down because when the ocean's rocking and rolling like that, I've heard stories of 20 and 40 and 50 and 80-foot waves. And boats going like this, that's not normal, right? You can't find which way's up when you're sitting on that ocean. Normal is impossible. But he's the anchor that holds us on course. He holds us where we're supposed to be, right? That's where we find that. That's where that truth is when normal doesn't seem doable or right. These two lines right here, I could go on all day long, but I won't. He's the fire in my veins. What lights you up? What pours out of you when life gets going? What are you full of? Because that's what shakes out of you when life shakes you, right? Whatever you're overflowing with, when life comes at you and shakes you, that's what spills out of you. For many people that I've met out on the street, it's filthy, foul language and cursed ideas of taking from other people so that they can get what they need, right? We almost had people steal our construction materials for our roofing project this week. They set some metal out behind the building, and an hour later or something, Pastor Chad's coming back from lunch, and people are going through boxes, going to steal our roofing material. I don't get it. That's not the way I'm wired. That's not where my source comes from, right? I don't get the actions that lead to that. That's not who I am. That's not who he is, and so I don't act that way. But he is what gets you fired up. I need to know what it is I'm fired up about, and I need to be full of that presence of God. Okay, and if people are full of greed and selfishness and desire, then that's what's going to shake them, and that's what's going to result in their life when it hits them hard. They're going to grab and grasp for everything they can that doesn't even belong to them. But I got to recognize he's going to be the fire. Like the book of Ezekiel, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Indeed, I cannot even contain it. I can't even hold it in. Like fire in your bones. What fires you up? What is the passion that you can't stop talking about? I pray that it's Jesus. I pray that it's God and his goodness. Amen? Be the fire in my veins. The echo of my days. Oh, this preaches too. When your days are done, what's the echo going to sound like? What is your story going to echo? Like in the Grinch when he yells, "You're an idiot!" at the echo and it says, "You're an idiot!" You know, "I'm an idiot. You're an idiot," it yells back at him, right? What's the echo of your days? When your life is finished, when everyone hears your story and then sees the reverberation of what your life has caused and become and resulted in, what is the echo of your days? I pray that mine is the goodness of God. the greatness of God. I pray that my echo of my life, long after I'm gone, people will know who God is because of what he did in my days. Amen? That's the fire that I need in my bones. That's the power that I need, the experience of God. The chorus and the bridge are simple, repetitive. They drive the point home. Get it stuck in your heart and in your head. You are good. Period. You are good. He says, you're never going to let me down. He will never let you down because he is good. When dad is sick, which applies to a bunch of us in the room today, God is good. Amen? He's never going to let you down. It may not feel like it right now. It may not look like it. But God is never going to let you down. He may not answer in the way you wanted him to, but I think we can know by now that he's got good plans. He's been working on this thing for quite a while, and he's got you in mind. He's got you in mind. He is never going to let you down. People, yes, they're going to make a mess out of things, but God is going to be faithful because that's who he is. Amen, church? Even when we are not, he is good. Even when pain is real, he is good. Even when emotions are spent and raw, both happy and sad, he is good. This song reminds me of my Bible reading this week in Daniel chapter 3. I was reading, and some young men were on the hot seat. And the worship team, we're about to fire it up again, so if you want to get ready to roll, thank you. God was on trial, and they were caught in the middle, these three young men. The king ordered everyone to worship his image, but these young men of God knew what to do. They knew what was right and knew what was wrong. They were in a dilemma, you see, because if they do the right thing, they live, and if they do the wrong thing, they die. That's a miserable place to be, wouldn't you say? You know the right thing to do, and if you do the right thing, you die, and if you do the wrong thing, you get to live. What's the goal? What's the goal? Is my goal to see how long I can stay alive, or is my goal to honor him with my life? That's ultimate, Pastor Steve. Well, absolutely it is. That's the determination. That's the foundation we have to decide on. And so that's what they did. And I love what they said. Oh, it's so powerful. They told the king, we will not bow. Our God will save us. And those are bold words, right? But you know the ones I like even more are the next ones. They said, but if not, we're still not going to bow, king. That's a resolve. That's an understanding in relationship that goes beyond the season or the moment. Right? To say, you know what? God's going to save us. But even if he doesn't, if he doesn't save me today and I burn in that fiery furnace, I'm still not going to bow to your idols because he is good. Wow. You're like, that sounds psychotic. That sounds crazy. No, that's called faith, and it's called a real vision of what this life is actually about. Because sicknesses come and go, seasons come and go, relationships move, they're always in transition. But what God wants to accomplish through your life, that's the ultimate goal. Will we be faithful to that? Will we stand upon that goodness and trust him? They came to the stark realization that God's goodness is never on trial. It's never on trial. Period. My current situation does not determine his character. So to close out today, we're going to go back into worship. We're going to sing this song and another one to follow it, because I want you to have plenty of time to respond to the goodness of God today. Because he is good. If you're facing physical pain and difficulty, God's good. Don't fall for the enemy's lies to tell you to base your physical pain and let that be your theology. Your theology is on Jesus Christ and him crucified, on the power of Jesus Christ that's available for us in the now but not yet kingdom. And we walk in that authority and that blessing. And then, but if not, I'm still going to praise him. Because eventually I'll see the goodness of God. If not in this land, I will see it there. Amen? We've got to have a resolve. We've got to have an understanding. We've got to have the right glasses on. If you got the wrong glasses that only see what's going on right here, then you're going to miss what God's doing. But if you put on a lens that shows you what heaven looks like, that shows you what eternity's all about, then all of a sudden this doesn't seem so bad. We're going to make it. Amen? Church, we have people in our body and in our family right now. There's people in the hospital. There's people in different hospitals around the city. There's people visiting different people because they are in pain. They are experiencing medical issues and trauma, and there's financial issues, and there's relational issues. There's divorce going on. There's all sorts of the wages of sin is wreaking death all around us, but God is good. And I will not back down. I will not step away from that message. No matter how hard the enemy comes at us, no matter how much he wants to distract and deter us, we are going to stay the course. Because he is good. He is faithful. He has never let me down. He's never going to let you down. Just keep yourself in the center of his will and in his hand. Obey his word. Live your life the right way. And you will see him show up in your moment. You will see him show up because he is good. And you can't prove it otherwise. The pain that many of you are going through, I feel that pain. I'm suffering with you. Because it hurts and this pain is so difficult, but God is good. God is faithful. Don't believe the lie that he's checked out or he's not real or it doesn't matter. This is just coincidence. Don't believe that lie. I've seen it to be true that God knows when to show up, how to show up, and what needs to be done. And he'll show up in our moment. He'll show up in your moment. We talked about that last week, right? He'll do it again. And he'll do it again. I believe that with all my heart. And we're praising God today because he is good. And nothing you can say, nothing anybody out there can say, is ever going to change my mind about that. Because I didn't make it up. It's just truth. It's been recorded for thousands of years how faithful he is. He's not about to change today. Amen, church? Let's rise and worship. And if you want to, here's what I'd like you to do. If you need prayer, our deacons, our team, our leaders are going to come down and pray for folks. They're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to believe that God's going to save the sick. He's going to raise them up. If you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm believing that God's going to show up in your moment here today. And you can come and ask, and God will fill you with his presence. Our leaders are going to pray for you. If you just want to come down here and worship and get out of your seat and move around a little bit, we're just going to worship the Lord until the end of this morning, all right? Is that cool? We're just going to go after God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, like they used to back in the good old days, right? Where we get down and we weep our eyes out before the Lord and we pray for those who need him. We're going to give our hearts to the Lord this morning. Father, have your way.
Invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.